This series was based on 1 Peter. And let me tell you a story how this all comes together. Sometimes people find out that I'm a pastor. Wouldn't you believe it? Sometimes people find out. They don't always know all the time, right away. And it's pretty obvious because I don't really introduce myself as, hey, I'm Jonathan. I'm a pastor. Nobody really introduces themselves that way. Maybe you introduce yourself. Hey, my name is so-and-so and I'm a Christian. But most people, they don't say, hi, my name is, and I'm a pastor or a Christ follower or anything like that. But usually when I do introduce myself as, hey, my name is Jonathan, I'm a pastor, it means I really don't want to talk to you. Okay? And the reason I say that is because when I introduce myself as a pastor, that usually means to the other person, oh, we should not talk to this guy because he will look into our deepest, darkest secrets and we're going to have to spill our beans and he's going to know when we're guilty and he's going to know everything that we did wrong since the age of two and that's going to be the end of it. And so usually when I get on a plane or a train and people ask me, hey, my name is so-and-so, what's your name? And they ask me what I do. And if I don't want to talk to them in the morning, I say, I'm a pastor. And then they look away and they pretend they have something else to do when I really know they're not doing anything except playing Candy Crush. And that was really what they wanted to do, but they wanted to have a conversation. But here's something interesting, all right? Once in a while, you get the weird person who, when you say, I'm a pastor, they have other things in mind, right? They want to know about their own religion because they're not Christians. They want to know about other religions that they don't even follow, but they pretend to follow and they say, well, I'm not a Christian. I'm an agnostic, Buddhist, spiritualist, naturalist, right? And you're just like, you're a what? And, you know, basically I want to say, you're confused. And so they say to me, Pastor Jonathan, you're a spiritual man. I want you to explain my religion that I just made up in my head. And I sit there and I'm just like, man, God is punishing me today. Goodness, right? I didn't want to talk to you, but now I'm ending up talking to you. And then they have this very interesting question. And the question is always very interesting. They always want to know why in the movie Noah, God decides he wants to smite all the people and drown them. And I'm just like, that wasn't God, man. That was you guys. You guys were killing each other. People kill each other. And that's not really an answer a spiritualist, naturalist, humanist person wants to hear because they believe all people are good, even though what they do is they steal in the backside and they don't tell anybody that's a steal, lie, and cheat. And they do it anyway. And then they want to believe that they're better than God and they want to pretend that they're God. And you're just like, okay, I'm tired of this conversation, right? And you say, you're going to hell. And that really ends the conversation, right? Because you don't believe in Jesus, right? And then they go, oh my God, you're a Christian. How can you say that? And I just say, well, I didn't say it. You chose it, right? You chose to go to hell, right? Because if you were friends with Jesus, then you don't really have to go to hell because hell is for those people who want to go there, not for people who don't want to go there. God gives you a choice. And they think that's a real big problem anyway, but that's a different story. So there's a reason I'm telling you this. Because whenever you introduce yourself as a Christian, whenever you say, I believe in Christ, I have a Messiah, I have someone who saves me, people want to know why. People want to know why, and you're just sometimes standing there and you're just like, man, why? Why indeed, right? I mean, if you really think about it, if you think about it and you look at the news or you watch the news, you see what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri, and you see what's happening in Mosul, Iraq, and you're just like, oh my goodness, why would God want to save somebody like me? Why would God want to save anybody? More than that, why would I believe in God if this is all that's going to happen? This world is horrible. And 1 Peter says, but honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Right? He says, you got to get ready to answer why you believe, why you have hope, even though there's no reason to have hope. And I'm sure when you invited people to church or you maybe told people about your church, maybe VBS, people asked, well, why? What does that mean? Why is it so fun? Why is it so exciting? And you stood there and you're like, well, we get to do dance moves and these old, almost 30-year-olds, they get up and do dance moves and there's a smoke machine and there's fog and it gets cloudy in here and, you know, there's lots of snacks and you gain 10 pounds so you feel good because you eat stuff that you're not allowed to eat at home. And maybe those are all good answers. And I encourage you to use them, right? Because church, you're allowed to do that, and you won't get any weight at church, right? That's a true story. Doesn't matter what you eat here. But there's a reason all of that happened, right? There's a reason you can answer these questions, and there's a reason we need to have a defense. I'm not going to make this a long sermon, right? Because I think you all deserve a break. So we're going to make this real short. We're going to go to Acts chapter, I think, 18. Acts chapter 18. It's in your notes. Open up your Bibles and you'll see it. Acts chapter 18, verses 4 through 11. It's so short. So short. And I'm going to start reading and you're going to take some notes. You're going to learn a few things and then you're going to be like, wow, I learned a lot today. So Acts chapter 18, verse 4, I'm going to start reading. Each Sabbath found Paul at the synagogue, trying to convince the Jews and the Greeks alike. And after Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul spent all his time preaching the word. He testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. So let me give you some background. This is Paul's second missionary journey, which means he already came back from a mission trip, really long mission trip. He came back to Jerusalem, and now he left again. And this time, he's in the city of Corinth, okay? Corinth is very important. Corinth is a very big city. And now he's preaching there, and he's preaching to the first Christians that are there. And what you guys don't know, what I didn't read, was that Paul spent most of his time making tents. He was a tent maker, right? That's what the Bible says. But a tent maker did more than just build tents, right? And I don't mean like, you know, just the triangle tents that people sleep in on the side of the road. He also made shoes. He also made jackets. He worked with leather. That was his thing, right? And so here's the thing that the Bible says. He set up shop, making tents, fixing leather products, making shoes, fixing shoes, right? He had a regular job. Paul had a regular job. But on his regular job, what he would do is he would defend his faith. He would use that regular job to defend his faith. That was how he made his living. He would not only earn money, but he'd have the opportunity to share his hope, right? So when we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, we see that the apostle Peter is saying, hey, we need to be a witness to God, for God, in opportunities that God gives us so that we can be brave. And through our bravery, people might receive a second chance. You guys remember this? We've been talking about it all summer, right? And so 1 Peter says, well, this is what it is. When we give a defense, we're really allowing people to have a second chance because we're being brave and using the opportunities God gave us to be a witness about how good and awesome he is. So Paul, when he wasn't working, was at church preaching. And when he wasn't at church preaching, he was probably making tents and preaching. And preaching some more. So let me continue reading. This is what the Bible says now in verse 6. Verse 6, but when they opposed and insulted him, Paul shook the dust from his clothes and said, your blood is upon your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I'm going to go preach to Gentiles. Which is pretty funny, right? If you think about it, this is very funny. When we give a defense, and the reason Peter says it's a defense is because people are going to oppose you. People are going to insult you because of what you believe. That's a fact of life. You're going to walk up and say, I'm a Christian, and people might laugh at you. And people might say you're crazy. But that's okay, right? That's okay. Here's the second thing that we notice in this passage, right? In this passage alone, we notice that Paul didn't preach full-time like he was a pastor all the time, even though he was. He was just an ordinary guy. In fact, didn't become a full-time pastor until Timothy and Silas arrived. Do you guys see that? In verse 5? In fact, he didn't do full-time pastoring, which means something very interesting to those of us who are not pastors. It very simply means that we should all be brave, that we need to all be brave no matter what we do, no matter how we do it. You should write that down. That was really good. Man, I don't see any writing. I see a lot of sleeping. Write that down. That was really good. It doesn't matter what you do, but you should be brave no matter what. You see, we honor God. We honor our Savior. We honor Jesus when people oppose us and insult us, and we're able to defend why we love Jesus. I mean, people are strange like that. They're going to just oppose us for no reason anyway, because that's what they do. People will oppose you, right? People oppose everything that's good and everything that's worthy. That's the nature of people. People are just strange that way. And the funny thing about people is when they go to a football game, they'll honor their home team. And that's not weird or interesting. That's just normal. Or they go to a concert and, you know, they honor EXO. I think that's the band that you're all obsessed with these days, right? Right? They'll honor them, right? They'll raise their hands and be like, yeah, right? Yeah, I like this, right? But God forbid anybody does that at church and you're just like, oh, man, those people are strange. Those people are weird. Or if we pray before lunch at school, they're just like, oh, man. They're closing their eyes again to thank God. That's so weird. Like, and people just don't get it. But they do crazy and strange stuff themselves, don't they? Some people honor their dogs, right? And I never really understood how they honored their dogs, but, you know, they consider the dog's poop more holy and more impressive than the Bible. And it's just strange, very strange to me. But people oppose and insult people who have any faith. And that's just the way it is. Let me keep reading. Verse 7. All right, the story here is so interesting. It's so funny. Then he left and went to the home of Titus Justus, a Gentile who worshiped God and lived next door to the synagogue. Didn't we just read in verse 6 that the people at the synagogue opposed him and insulted him? We just read that, right? Because Paul says, I'm going to go preach to the Gentiles then. I'm going to stop preaching at the church. And what he does is he says that to these people, I'm going to stop preaching to you. And he decides he's going to move next door. Who does that? Who moves next door to the place that insults him and hates him? Paul. Okay, Paul does. That's what he did. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, and everyone in his household believed in the Lord. And many others in Corinth also heard about Paul. They became believers and were baptized. Here's what's so interesting. When the Bible says we have to give a defense, we got to see what Paul did. Paul took those insults, those oppositions, and he gave more defenses, right? And then he moved next door to the place that hated him. That's not normal, right? And how is that honoring God, right? That's just insane. Now, because he was living next door to the place of the people that hated him, he had to always be ready. He had to always be ready to give a defense. He had to always be ready to find a reason why he's doing what he's doing. But more than that, he had to be brave. He had to be brave. And because of that bravery, people were saved. Do you see, do you realize that when we're ready to defend our faith, when we're ready to admit to people that we believe in Jesus, people's lives change. And I believe if you really went to VBS with us and you're here on this Sunday, that you're ready for this school year, that you're ready for next week and next month to be able to defend why you have hope in your heart, why you live differently than everybody else, why you see the world in a different picture and color despite what's happening around you. Now I'm going to get to my sermon. That was the introduction. And the sermon's going to be quick because we only have 3 verses left. Verse 9. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, "Don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent, for I am with you. and no one will attack and harm you. For many people in the city belong to me. So Paul stayed in the city there for the next year and a half, teaching the word of God. I want you to go underline those two verses, verse 9 and 10. Underline it. Underline it in your notes. You see how I underlined it in the notes? Underline it in the notes. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, "Don't be afraid, speak out, don't be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack and harm you, for many people in the city belong to me." Here's your first. Write this down. The first reason why we give a defense is always this. When you lead with God, you don't ever have to be afraid. When you lead with God, you don't ever have to be afraid. The first thing God tells Paul is this: don't be afraid. He says it so simply: don't be afraid. A lot of us live so much in fear. A lot of us will always be fearful, and I don't know why, because God tells us, don't be afraid. Some of us are afraid to wear different color clothes or different styles of clothes. Some of us are afraid of being different. And God says, stop. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You see, when we're defending our faith, what he's saying is, don't be afraid of anybody. Who cares what other people might think of you because of what you believe? Who cares? And this is very important. When you lead with God, that means when you start with God, when God is the first and foremost thing in your life, there's nothing to be afraid of. Do you all understand what that means? What that means is when you're doing it for God, when your intention is, this is for the glory of God, when your intention is, because this will make God happy, there is nothing that you have to be worried about, nothing to fear for. Nothing. Here's the next thing. God tells us to keep speaking despite our doubt. God tells us to keep speaking despite our doubts. In Corinth, we find in verse 6 that Paul doubted his chances. God tells him to speak out. Do you see that? Speak out, he says in verse 9. Right after, don't be afraid, God says, speak out. So what if there's a bully that's three times fatter than you that can pound your face in, but he's abusing your friend? Speak out. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of someone who says, no, you can't do it. Speak out and say that you can. And maybe you guys will learn this year in school. Maybe you'll learn it. Maybe you have learned it. But if Martin Luther King Jr. didn't speak out or continue to speak out despite the number of times he was arrested, we wouldn't be able to have church like this. We wouldn't be in this country. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to go to restaurants. We wouldn't be able to ride buses. We wouldn't be able to own cars. None of that. You see, brave people spoke out. They spoke out and they kept speaking because even though they were afraid, God said, don't be afraid, and they kept going. And this is exactly what Paul did. This is exactly what all the disciples did. They kept speaking. Here's the last thing. Fulfilling your duty to be a witness will reveal other witnesses to you. Fulfilling your duty to be a witness will reveal other witnesses to you. If you think you're the only Christian out there, you're very wrong. If you think you're the only Christian in your circle, you're very wrong. If you think you're the only one out there doing the right thing, I'm going to tell you that you're not. God has other people at work. And this is very important. You see, when we start with God, when we keep speaking out in God's name and giving a defense for the hope that we have, we find out that we have power. We have influence. We have the ability to do things because there are people out there who just need to see your bravery. and they'll jump out too. Do you see what it says? It says, for I am with you, and no one will attack you and harm you. For many people in the city belong to me. God has people out there who are going to help you along the way, who want to help you along the way. When you start living and when you start making friends and making a lot of friends, what you're going to realize is that there are more people like you than you think. There are more people who share the same beliefs as you than you think. And you're going to learn that when you're brave enough to speak, when you're brave enough to look at your fear and say, you know what, that means nothing to me, you're going to find a lot of friends. You're going to find a lot of help. You're going to find yourself in a place where only you can make a difference, where only you are standing there for somebody else, for their second chance. You see, VBS was a way for you to be that person, for you to invite your friends, for you to share with your friends what Jesus does for your life. The book of Acts is a story about how the disciples, even though there were just 12 of them, changed the entire world. They changed the entire world. They were not afraid of what might happen to them. And we saw this in the story of Stephen, when he was not afraid to die for the hope that he had. We see this in Paul. We see this in Peter. We see this in Matthew. We see this in John. We see this in Luke. They were not afraid. They found themselves with a lot of people who were there to help them. Because at the end of the day, the hope you have is not in yourself, but it's in God. And that's the amazing thing about life. That's the amazing thing about having faith. God puts each and every one of you where you need to be the most brave that you can be, where you can speak the loudest. And I want you to keep that in mind as we begin our fall semester and as you begin school and as you begin new chapters in your life. There are going to be people who insult you. There are going to be people who oppose you, who say that you can't do it, but you can't be afraid, because your way of honoring God, honoring Jesus who saves you, is to give a defense to anybody who asks, why do you have such hope? Let's look at the oath again. You guys all know this, and you guys, I encourage you guys to all learn this because it's so powerful. It serves as a reminder of why we come to church. It says, but honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason, for the hope that is in you. When you're sad, when you're alone, when you're feeling afraid, you say, I'm going to honor God because I trust Him, because He gives me the power. He gives me the opportunity. He makes me brave. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you. You taught us that when we honor you, when we put you first in our hearts, when we allow ourselves to trust you, we have no reason to be afraid. We have every reason to speak louder. We have the belief that when we give a defense, you have other people here walking with us. God, I ask that as we start the next chapters of our lives, that we do not forget that. That as some of us go to school, we can be powerful agents for you. As some of us return to work, we realize that they're just opportunities for us to give a defense for the way we hope, for who we hope in. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to just unwind and have vacation Bible school and have fun. I ask that now we can go braver, we can go bolder, and we can do incredible things with your glory, with your power, and with your spirit. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.